We are studying chapter 19 in the book of Revelation. We're almost at the end. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. This has been more than a year-long study. Amen. Amen. So I'm going to ask all of you to go into your Bibles and go to Revelation chapter 19. Amen. So, Revelation 19, we're going to see praise. Praise over the fall of Babylon, the prostitute, the great harlot. Amen? We are going to see the marriage supper of the Lamb, or study it. We are going to see Christ's victory over the false prophet and the Antichrist. Amen? That's where we're going. So today, we're going to read verses 1 through 5. So I'll take someone to read that.
Through 5. After these things, I heard a loud voice of a great multitude in heaven saying, Alleluia! Salvation and glory and honor and power belong to the Lord our God. For true and righteous are his judgments, because he has judged the great harlot who corrupted the earth with her fornication, and he has avenged on her the blood of his servants shed by her. Again they said, Alleluia. Her smoke rises up forever and ever. And the 24 elders and the 4 living creatures fell down and worshipped God who sat on the throne, saying, Amen. Hallelujah. Then a voice came from the throne saying, Praise our God, all you his servants, and those who fear him, both small and great.
Amen, amen. Glory to God. So, so what we see here, what do we see here?
Recording stopped.
Recording stopped.
Yes, the recording has stopped.
I think you lost connection. Lizette lost connection.
It's okay, I'm recording.
Okay. So, the first thing we see is the word, after these things, I heard. Okay? So, that is giving us a time key. And what it's telling us is that the time that this will take place, okay, after these things. So, after the destruction of Babylon the Great, and at the end of the tribulation, Babylon the Great is destroyed. Amen? And it's just before the kingdom of God is established. So we have a timeline in this chapter. After whatever's going to go and whatever goes forward, Babylon the Great is destroyed. Amen. Then that's the end of the tribulation. Amen. And then the end of the tribulation is before the kingdom of God is established. That's where it's heading. It's taking us. Okay. So this section that we're reading is a bridge between the tribulation ends, then whatever we're going to read is going to happen, and then we're going to have the millennial kingdom. Is that clear? Mm-hmm. Is that clear? It's a bridge. What we're going to read is a bridge, okay? A bridge from the end of the tribulation to the beginning of the millennial kingdom, okay? So John hears a multitude Okay, I'm getting ahead of myself. Okay, so John hears a multitude in heaven saying what? What are they doing? Amen? They're giving glory to God
glory
and
to
honor.
God.
Yeah, and,
Power,
and why?
Yes.
Why are they giving glory to God? Why?
Because he's prevailed.
He's prevailed, and what has just happened? What did we just read just happened? Babylon?
The great harlot is done, is over, is
she's
defeated.
Fallen, she's destroyed. So they're giving God glory because this center of adultery, this center of cruelty, this center of lewdness has been done away with. There's fire, there's smoke coming up. Babylon the Great is burning. This great city, remember that we studied it, where the kings of the earth had come to commit fornication with her, has been destroyed. An end has been put to this city. And we studied who we think Babylon the Great is. Amen? So we're not going to go into that again. Amen? Hallelujah. So the multitude is praising God because he's righteous for his truth. So they're giving him praise and they're giving him glory. Hallelujah. Amen. Look what it says in verse 2. It says that she was, verse 2, because the harlot who corrupted earth with her fornication. Okay? There's punishment for that. Amen. Our fornication, this city caused many to be idolatrous, because that's what it means. We're not talking about human fornication and whatnot. We're talking about when you adore or worship anything but God. God sees that as fornication. Amen. So the angels are praising her. The great multitude in heaven is praising her, is praising God because he's brought this idolatrous city down. Amen. Another reason why, look what it says here. It says, he has avenged her on her the blood of his servants shed by her. Right? So his servants, the saints, amen, those that really worship God, this city had put them to death. Amen. So that's how this begins, how this section begins. Amen. So what they're rejoicing, right? They are. It says, look, I heard a loud voice of a great multitude in heaven saying, "Alleluia! Salvation and glory and honor belong to the Lord our God." Amen. And then in verse, praise God, all you servants and those who fear him, both great and small. And I heard as it were, the voice of a great multitude, as the sound of many waters, and as the sound of mighty thundering, saying, "Alleluia."
Yes.
For the Lord our God omnipotent reigns. Worshiping God because he's all powerful. They're rejoicing. They're rejoicing because his judgments, right? This is a city being judged. But what about God's judgments? Amen. Because his judgments are righteous. They're true. Amen.
Mm-hmm.
They're using the word alleluia, 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 which means praise the Lord. Praise
alleluia.
The Lord. Praise the Lord. It's a vast multitude of singers. It's a vast multitude of singers. Amen. And then it says, I want to get you, let me see if I can find it. Okay. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Glory to God. Amen. I'm trying to find where I, okay, one. Let me see where I can find it. Nine, four, verse 4. Let's go here. because I thought this was very interesting. Verse 4. Go to verse 4. It says,
amen.
And the 24 elders, and we know who they are, right? They sit before the throne of God, 24 elders, and the four living creatures fell down and worshiped God, who sat on the throne, saying, amen, alleluia. You know what just hit me about that today? Do you remember who the four living creatures are around the throne of God? One has the face of a man, the other one has the face of an ox, the face of an eagle, the face of a lion. They have six wings. Amen. The four living creatures. And what do they continuously say before the throne of God?
Holy.
Holy, 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 holy. Isn't that what we were singing today?
Yes.
Holy, holy, holy. We forget that our God is a holy God. Sometimes we speak of God like he's our neighbor, like he's just, yes, he loves us. Yes, we are his children. But we got to reverence the Lord. The church has lost the reverence for God. The general church, there's no reverence anymore. We come before a holy God, and we're chit-chatting, and we're hanging out, and we're having coffee, and we're doing this. But we mustn't forget that our God is a holy God.
Amen.
Doesn't he say in Scripture, be holy, for I am holy. Amen. God said that to me a very long time ago when he blessed me with the with the Holy Spirit, with the evidence of speaking in tongues. I was so ministered by that. Holy, holy, holy. He said to me, titiri mandi, titiri mandi, uribi santi, uribi santi. Those were the words he gave me. And he translated, be holy, for I am holy. I command you to be holy, for I am holy. Titiri mandi, titiri mandi, seribi santo, teribi santo, uribi santo. I mean, it was decades ago. We have to recognize that our God is not a trinket. Our God is not a puppet that you can pull his strings. Our God is a holy God. Amen? Amen. That really ministered to me, especially because of Lizette choosing to play that worship. Amen? Hallelujah. So let's go. So they're rejoicing because God has judged over his judgment. Amen? Hallelujah. We have the singers, which were a vast multitude, the 24 elders, and the four living creatures. Mm-hmm. Amen? Mm-hmm. So now we will go to verses 6 through 10, the marriage supper of the Lamb. And I will take someone to read that.
And I heard, as it were, the voice of a great multitude, as the sound of many waters, and as the sound of mighty thunderings, saying, hallelujah, for the Lord God, omnipotent, reigns. Let us be glad and rejoice and give him glory, for the marriage of the Lamb has come, and his wife has made herself ready. And to her it was granted to be arrayed in fine linen, clean and bright, for the fine linen is the righteous acts of the saints. Then he said to me, write, blessed are those who are called to the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he said to me, these are the true saints of God. And I fell at his feet to worship him. But he said to me, see that you do not do that. I am your fellow servant and of your brethren who have the testimony of Jesus. Worship God. For the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy.
Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So, what's taking place? Amen. Amen. Now, we have studied the marriage supper of the Lamb. Amen. And the marriage supper of the Lamb is a name for the union of Christ and the church. Amen. The church is still here on earth. Christ is in heaven. And the time is going to come when the church will be reunited with Christ. Amen. Mm-hmm. And that's called the marriage of the Lamb. And we'll talk about the differences in a minute. I purposely said the marriage of the Lamb. Amen. Mm-hmm. So here's the thing. What's known as the marriage supper of the Lamb. Amen. Now, it's going to take place in heaven. Okay. It's going to take place in heaven after the rapture and after the judgment seat of Christ. What is the rapture? When we who have believed in the Lord Jesus Christ are taken into heaven, right? That's the rapture, right? When the dead in Christ will rise up and we will all meet Christ in the air. That's the rapture, okay? And what is the judgment seat of Christ? The judgment seat of Christ is, I hate to call it, it's where Christ is judged. He's the judge, and he will be giving out gifts to the saints. We're not being judged, right? Because we have already been saved. Mm-hmm. So we have already been judged, and because of the blood of Christ, righteousness has been imputed to us. So the judgment seat of Christ is, Christ will be giving our rewards to the saved. That's what the judgment seat of Christ is. And I want a big reward. Mm-hmm. I want to walk alongside the Savior. You know, there's a psalm that says, I would rather be sweeping in the house of the Lord than I don't know what. But no, I want to walk alongside the Master.
Amen.
Don't we all? Don't we all? Be mm-hmm. honest. Don't we all want to walk alongside the Master? Mm-hmm. So he'll be giving out gifts. Anyway, so the marriage supper of the Lamb. Now, marriage supper. There's a little bit of, disagreement about the marriage supper of the Lamb. Okay, some believe that the marriage takes place in heaven, mm. because when you're raptured, and that the supper takes place on earth during the millennium. There are two Christian sides, and they can give you logical reasons. So you decide which one you want to agree with, but it is the marriage supper of the Lamb when Christ is united with his church. Amen. And so it's a celebration. Amen. When you have a marriage, you have a celebration, don't you? Mm-hmm. Amen. Now, so we say when the bride, right? Who's the bride? The church, right? The bride, here we are, right? The church is yes. united with Christ. We will be at the marriage supper of the Lamb. But are we the only ones that are going to be at the marriage mm-hmm. supper of the Lamb? Mm-hmm. Who else is going to be at the marriage supper of the Lamb? Mm-hmm. All the redeemed through the ages. Up to the birth of Christ.
Yes, yes.
Abraham, a friend of God. Yes. David, beloved of God. And you can go on and on. Mary, his mother. You know, the women around him. And before that, the Old Testament saints. Amen? Enoch, you know. We're all going to be at the marriage supper of the Lamb, the redeemed of all ages. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. I have here 2 Corinthians 11:2. Let's go there a minute. I have it on here, but of course I did not write it in my notes. 2 Corinthians 11:2. See what it says there. Let's see what it says. If anybody has it, you can read it. about the bride. For I
Philippians 11:2.
For I am jealous. For you with godly jealousy, for I have betrothed you to one husband, that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ.
Amen. So that's speaking of the bride of Christ, the church.
Yes.
Amen. Yeah. Hallelujah. Mm-hmm. Now, what else does it say? It says, and to her, verse 8 says, and to her it was granted to be arrayed in fine linen, clean and bright, for the fine linen is the righteous acts of the saints. What do you make of that?
What are you reading?
Verse 8.
Back in Revelation.
What did you say? We're back in Revelation and 19 and verse 8. Mea culpa, mea culpa, mea culpa.
Thank you, verse 8. Yep. Yeah. Her. Mm-hmm.
Okay, so do you have it?
Yes.
Okay, so what does it tell you? And to her, to whom? To the church. Was granted to be arrayed in fine linen, clean and bright, for the linen is the righteous acts of the saints. Amen.
Yes.
So what does that say to you?
Good works.
Yes, yes. That's what it says to you. It's about, okay, it's not about salvation, right? Because the church has already been saved, right? But it's the manifested acts after salvation. So it reminds me in the book of James where he says, I will show you my faith through my acts. Amen?
Yes.
So if you're saved, you should have some action behind that salvation. There should be actions, righteous actions. Because that's what it says. For the fine linen is the righteous acts of the saints.
Mm-hmm.
Think about it. You can't just go on saying, I'm saved, and have nothing to demonstrate to the world that you are saved. Amen?
Amen.
You can think of how you treat people. Mm-hmm. Amen? What you say about people. Amen? What you do to help people. Righteous acts. Amen. Hallelujah. So we're all responsible for that. Amen. And then, hallelujah. Then he said, right, blessed are those who are called to the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he said to me, these are the true saints of God. That's verse 9. Amen.
Mm-hmm.
So, again, this is where we see. Blessed are those who are called. This is not the bride, right? The bride isn't called. The bride isn't called. She's the one that does the inviting, right? We already have the bride and the groom for the marriage supper. So, blessed are those who are called. And once again, the Old Testament saints. Amen. Hallelujah. They are called. All those who were saved before Pentecost, before the Holy Spirit was given, all those who are saved, all faithful believers saved by grace through faith up to the birth of Christ. Hallelujah. They're not the church, right? They're not the church. They're not the bride. The church is the bride. Amen. But they are still, will be glorified and will reign along with us with Christ. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. And who also will be part of this group? Because remember, these are the saved, right? And the Old Testament saved. Who else is, remember, this takes place after the tribulation and before the millennium. So who else gets saved?
those that did not take the mark of the beast.
The tribulation, yes. The tribulation stage.
They are also part of the marriage supper of the Lamb. Isn't that interesting? Because you don't think of it. You think of, oh, just the bride. But there's more than the bride. Amen. Hallelujah. There are those who are called to the marriage. Hallelujah. To this supper, this wedding supper. Amen. Now, let me give you a little summary on how, and I've done this in the past, but I don't know if anyone will remember, how marriages were done in the ancient Middle East, so that you can see, this gives you a bit of understanding, or it gives you an understanding of this marriage supper of the Lamb, the union between bride and the Christ and the bride. Amen. So first, the parents would choose a bride for the groom. And so this takes place presently as the Holy Spirit calls the elect. Amen. He calls us out through regeneration, right? When we're born again, it's the Holy Spirit who is calling us out to Christ. Amen. So this is like the parents choosing a bride. So God the Father calls us to the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Amen. That's okay. Regeneration. Second, okay. And that's like, you know, I'm not going to go there. Second, when the time for the marriage has come, the groom would leave his home with his friends, go to the home of the bride, and escort her from her home to his. The bride did not know when the groom would come. Mm-hmm. This will take place when Christ comes to take his bride to heaven, the rapture. Amen. And third, the groom provides a feast for his bride and his friends at his home that lasts several days. The marriage supper of the Lamb. That the groom, who is the groom? Christ. Jesus Christ. Amen. He's providing this marriage supper for his bride. Amen. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
So that's a small synopsis on the marriage supper of the Lamb, which we have studied in times past more fully. Amen. And then we see where John, remember, this is John, right? This is John the Apostle. Let me preface it by that. This is John the Apostle who has received this revelation from Jesus Christ. That's why it is the revelation of Jesus Christ. Amen. Given to John. Amen. So what happens? What do you think? How do you think John was feeling? Mm. This angel is giving him a message. I think he was overwhelmed. I think he was so overwhelmed that he fell down to worship the angel. And what happens? He is rebuked, right?
Yes.
He is rebuked. Amen. Right. The angel tells him, I'm a fellow servant with you. Don't do that. Mm-hmm. And it occurred to me, angels are created beings.
Yes.
They're created, just like we are. They are created. You do not worship the creation. You worship the creator.
The creator.
Amen.
Yes.
Hallelujah, hallelujah. Mm-hmm. So let's go now, and we will read everything, but we will break it down individually, okay? So let's read verses 11 through 16, the rider on the white horse. I can't hear you, Vinny. You are muted. Okay.
Now I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse, and he who sat on him was called faithful and true, and in righteousness he judges and makes war. His eyes were like a flame of fire, and his head were many crowns. On his head were many crowns. He had a name written that no one knew except himself. He was clothed with a robe dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. And the armies of heaven, clothed in fine linen, white and clean, followed him on white horses. Now out of his mouth goes a sharp sword, that with it he should strike the nations, and he himself will rule them with a rod of iron. He himself treads the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. And he has on his robe and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords.
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Amen. Amen. So let's break it down, right? Hallelujah. Let me get myself, where am I? Okay. Ooh. You know, it says that John sees heaven opens. He sees a white horse. Amen. A rider on the white horse called Faithful and True. In his righteousness, he makes war. This is like the beginning of the end, like the revelation of who Jesus is. Amen. Hallelujah. Mm-hmm. So a white horse. Amen. So what I saw, what I found out was that in Rome, when they had their triumphal processions after victory, after they went into battle and they come back with victory, the victorious general would ride a white horse. Mm-hmm. And he would ride it up to the Via Sacra, which means sacred, mm-hmm. to the temple of Jupiter. Mm-hmm. Amen. So hallelujah. So that here is Jesus, amen, the King of Kings. He's riding a white horse, and that he will be, that he is victorious. Hallelujah. Amen. Here they rode to the temple of Jupiter, the Roman god. But here is the real God. Hallelujah. The real God riding a white horse, because he is victorious. Hallelujah. He is victorious. Jesus first came out humbly, right? In all humility, on a colt, riding a colt. Now he's coming on a war horse. Hallelujah. To destroy the wicked. Hallelujah. Amen. To overthrow the Antichrist. Amen. To defeat Satan and to take control of the earth. That's what he's going to do. Amen. And he comes as a judge and a general to make war. Amen. The world rejected him before. It's rejecting him again. The world is rejecting him at this time. But now he comes to judge those who reject him. Amen. Mm-hmm. His judgments are just, and his war is righteous, amen? Because he's faithful and he's true, amen? Hallelujah. Faithful and true. True. That's an awesome word. He's truth. Hallelujah. Faithful and true. And in his righteousness, he judges and makes war. We serve a just God. Nobody can read our hearts, but God can. He knows what we think, what we say, what we do, what we say and we don't mean it, what we don't say and we want to say. Mm-hmm. He's a just and a righteous God. Amen. And daily we have to ask him, search my heart, O God, and see if there is any iniquity in mm-hmm. me. I love when David in the Psalms, he said, Search me, O God, and see if there be any iniquity in me. And he says, create in me a clean heart, O God, and take not your Holy Spirit from me. Hallelujah. That should be our daily prayer, because we are human and we are subject to what we hear, to the things we say because of what we hear, to the things we think. Oh God, create in me a clean heart. Amen. Take not your Holy Spirit from me. Hallelujah. Praise God. But our God is just and he is righteous and he makes war because he is righteous. Amen. Hallelujah. And then it says, his eyes were like a flame of fire. And on his head were many crowns. And he had a name written that no one knew except himself. Hallelujah. His eyes are flaming fire. He has a penetrating vision. He knows what goes on in all our hearts. That's why his judgments are just. Amen. And they're righteous. Amen. On his head were many crowns. When was the last time we saw Jesus wearing a crown? At his crucifixion, right?
Yes.
A crown of thorns. Amen. But here it says, on his head were many crowns. Now, let me tell you something. The Greek word, the ancient Greek word used in this scripture is diadema. Amen. That is the crown of royalty and the crown of authority. In scripture, there's another word, the Stephanos crown, which is the crown of achievement. He doesn't wear the crown of achievement. He's wearing the crown
of glory,
of authority, the crown of royalty. Amen. That's the crown that this verse says he has on. Amen. And the fact that he has many crowns, amen, as John sees, many crowns, what does it mean? That Jesus is the ultimate authority and power. Amen. It's a visible manifestation of what we say and call him King of Kings. Amen. Hallelujah. It is an expression of what? Ultimate sovereignty. He's it. That's it. Amen. Hallelujah. Now, it says that there is a name written that no one knows. No one knows the name, but I have a theologian from long ago by the name of Clark. And let me tell you what he believes. And he's among many that believe this, amen. It says the name written that no one knew except himself is actually the tetragrammaton. The four letters YHWH. That make up the name Yahweh, the sacred and secret name of God. You know that the Jews do not pronounce the name of God.
That's right.
Amen. They use the letters. Amen. Mm-hmm. Or they say, when they're referring to God the Father, they say Lord, all in capitals. Amen. Or they use a tetragram, which is Y. Yahweh. In transcribing the Hebrew scriptures, what has been done is that vowels have been put Yahweh. Amen. W-A-H-W-A-H. Yahweh. You see? But the Hebrew scriptures do not have that. They just have the letters. So this theologian and many others believe that that is what's on the thigh, or the name that no one knows, the name that is written that no one knows. Amen.
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 Oh, wow.
I hope. Am I being clear? I hope
yes.
So. If not, let me know.
Can you give us those letters again?
Y H W H. Amen. Now, 13 says he was clothed with a robe dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. Amen. Now, we are heading towards, or Christ is heading toward, what battle? The battle of Armageddon. That's the battle he's heading for. He's not there yet, right? But his robe is dipped in blood. Amen. So what does that symbolize? Here, to me, this is what it symbolizes. The battles, the great battles he has already won. What are those battles? Sin, right? Death, amen, and Satan. He's won those battles, amen. When he died on that cross and he shed his blood for us, he defeated death, he defeated sin, and he defeated Satan because he rose again, amen. It says he went and led the captives free, the captives that were held in the bowels of the earth, he set them free. So I believe that robe dipped in blood represents what he has already done. Amen?
Mm-hmm. Amen.
And the armies in heaven, clothed in fine linen, white and clean, followed him on white horses. So who is that? Who are the armies of heaven?
Those that have been redeemed, not the angels.
It will include the angels, but it is the church and the tribulation saints, those who have been redeemed, amen? And there will be angels with them, amen? Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Let me give you... You can go to Jude 14. You can write these down. Jude 14, Daniel 12:1, and even the angels. Matthew 25:31. Do you want to go there?
Matthew what?
Okay, I'm going to give you.
Yeah, Jude 14.
Go to Jude 14. Let's see what Jude. Jude, verse 14, because Jude only has one chapter.
Okay, Jude
14.
1:14.
Jude 14, yes, 1:14, let's say. It was also about these that Enoch, the seventh from Adam, prophesied, saying, behold, the Lord comes with 10,000s of his holy ones, to execute judgment on all and to convict all the ungodly of all their deeds of ungodliness in that they have committed in such an ungodly way, and so on and so forth. So you see, the angels will be there, and you can read the rest of them, which is Daniel 12:1 and Matthew 25:31. So the armies of God, the saints, that's us, all the saints, even the Old Testament saints, amen. The tribulation saints and the agents, amen. Now, they say, okay, the armies are coming. Now, they come, do they come to help Jesus fight? Does Jesus need help?
Not really, he doesn't need our help.
No, he doesn't need help fighting. Amen. Hallelujah. They come, they're unarmed. The word does not say that they're armed. They come because they will reign with him once he executes the rebellious. Amen. Once he defeats his enemies. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. His purpose, execution. Amen. Of all the ungodly. Now, out of his mouth, what? What comes out of his mouth?
Sharp sword.
Okay, let's see.
Two-edged sword.
A sharp sword.
Yep, yep, a sharp sword.
What's this word?
It says, now out of his mouth goes a sharp sword, that it with it he will strike the nations. Amen. Now, remember that this is symbolism. Symbolism. There is no sword. Jesus is not coming like a buccaneer with a sword out of his mouth. Amen? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And he's not, you know, what does that sword represent?
The word.
The word of God.
His word.
His word. The power of his word. Christ conquers by the power of his sword. I mean, of his word. Mm-hmm. He doesn't have to take a sword and wield it. He just
right.
speaks it. Hallelujah. And Jesus. They're all going to be executed. Hallelujah. Mm-hmm. Hallelujah. Then it says, and he himself will rule them with a rod of iron. He himself treads the winepress of the fierceness and the wrath of the Almighty God. His judgment, his righteous judgment will be swift. Amen. It will be swift. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It will mark the rule of God, of his kingdom. Amen. He comes to rule and to reign in triumph with a rod of iron. Hallelujah. And you can read Psalm 2, and you're going to read that. It's just quite a few, but put it down and read it later. Psalm 2. Hallelujah. And he comes with the fierceness of the wrath of the Almighty God. Hallelujah. He comes to as what? As the King of Kings. He will get rid of, he will displace, well, actually, he will get rid of every king reigning on this earth. He will displace them. Hallelujah. It will be a total, total end to the world's governments. Amen. It's not going to be other, there will be, that Jesus is the King of Kings. His people will be reigning. You know, mm-hmm. he says that the apostles will sit on 12 thrones, you know, and others will be reigning with Christ. But no one, not those that have a little bit of understanding, not those that want to conform. No, it's going to be a true reign of righteousness. Amen. As only the King of Kings can give to the world. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. It will be a total end of all the sovereigns of the world. Amen.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. And on his thigh and on his robe and on his thigh is written what? Again? King of Kings.
And Lord of Lords.
Absolute sovereignty over all human rulers. Amen. Absolute sovereignty. Hallelujah. Handpicked by the Lord Jesus Christ, these rulers. Hallelujah. And now, let's
Yes.
What? Then we will go to
trying to get out of this.
The hospital. We'll go to verses 17 to 21. Amen. The defeat of the beast. Amen. So let us read part of this. Let us read from 17 and verse 18. Somebody read 17 and 18. In Revelation, where we are at.
Then I saw an angel standing in the sun, and he cried with a loud voice, saying to all the birds that fly in the midst of heaven, come and gather together for the supper of the great God, that you may eat the flesh of kings, the flesh of captains, the flesh of mighty men, the flesh of horses, and of those who sit on them, and the flesh of all people, free and slave, both small and great.
Amen, amen. So this is a depiction of a frightening slaughter that's going to take place, unparalleled in human history. Unparalleled. This is a war unparalleled in human history, and it is the Battle of Armageddon. Amen? So what it begins with an angel summoning the birds to feed on the dead corpse, the corpse rather, because that's redundant, to feed on the corpse, amen, of all who will be slain, amen. The angel is calling the birds of the air, come and eat. It is an execution of the remaining rebels and are killed by the Lord Jesus Christ, amen. And this is, and we've studied this, this battle of Armageddon is called what? The Day of the Lord. And you can find that in Isaiah 66:15, Joel 3:12-21 verses, Joel 3:12-21. Ezekiel 39:1-4, 17-20, 2 Thessalonians 1:6 and 2:8, and Matthew 25:31-46. This is the day of the Lord, amen. And we studied that. We studied what many people confuse, have a confusion between the rapture and the day of the Lord. The rapture is one thing, the day of the Lord is the battle of Armageddon. Amen? Mm-hmm. Okay, now can I have somebody read verse 19?
And I saw the beast, the kings of the earth, and their armies, gathered together to make war against him who sat on the horse and against his army. Continue.
No. Then, No.
Okay.
So who is the beast? Who is the beast? We study. The beast is the name that refers to the Antichrist. The Antichrist. So the Antichrist, whom we know is going to be a person that is going to mesmerize the world and is going to be a dictator of the entire world. So the Antichrist and the nations of the world are going to gather together to make war against Christ, the King, who's coming on that white horse. Amen. Hallelujah, hallelujah. And I have here, John wrote no description about the battle itself. This is entirely a one-sided affair, more of a simple judgment than a prolonged war. It's not going to be, you know, wars are prolonged, right? Both sides fighting. This is not that. This is Jesus comes and he executes.
Bam.
Hallelujah. Bam. Done that. Hallelujah. Yep. Glory to God. It's an entirely one-sided affair.
Yep.
It is. It's not a prolonged war. It is a battle of Armageddon. Hallelujah. And this is a comment from another theologian, Bonhouse. The battle of Armageddon is the laughter of God against the climax of man's arrogance. Could you imagine God the Father laughing? Laughing because how ridiculous to think that you can fight against the Creator. You know? Verse 20. Somebody read verse 20.
Then the beast was captured, and with him the false prophet who worked signs in his presence, by which he deceived those who received the mark of the beast and those who worshipped his image. These two were cast alive into the lake of fire, burning with brimstone.
So the Antichrist and the false prophet, they receive special treatment, right?
Mm-hmm.
They are cast into the lake of fire. Hallelujah. Mm. And this is before the great white throne judgment that's going to take place later on against the other rebellious. Now, they're cast into the lake of fire, which is another name for hell.
Hell.
Uh-huh. Burning with brimstone. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Intensely hot. Hallelujah. The lake of fire is known as hell. Amen. So remember, Satan hasn't been cast into the lake of fire yet, right? There's still more that's going to go on after the millennium, right? But God has gotten rid of these two, the Antichrist and the false prophet, who made signs. In those times, the false prophet is going to make miraculous signs,
right,
that people are going to believe him.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. Hallelujah. So we have to let others know that you are going to see signs, but don't succumb to them. Don't take the mark of the beast. Don't worship the image of the Antichrist, because the word says he is going to erect an image in the church, in the synagogue, because where the church is gone, in the synagogue where the Jews are worshiping, and he's going to want to be worshiped as God. Amen. Which is why the Jews begin to flee, because they know that there is no God but God, and they cannot worship any other God, which is why he will begin to persecute them. But finally, he is thrown into the lake of fire, along with the false prophet, amen, which is prophet, a religious figure that's going to point the world to the Antichrist and say, obey him. The both will be thrown into the lake of fire. And finally, verse 21, and the rest were killed with the sword which proceeded from the mouth of him with his word, who sat on the horse, and all the birds were filled with their flesh. Amen. Glory to God. Amen.
Amen.
So if you have any questions about this, do your research first. Then call me or text me. No, better email me. Hallelujah. Let me know what you found out. You can enlighten me. Hallelujah. Praise
Amen.
The Lord. Amen.
Yeah.
God, let me turn this over. Yes, Vinny.